This is The Journey to the Africana Woman Festival. My name is Trulu, your host on the show and at the festival. So today you're going to listen to a conversation I had with Naomi Mwelwa. And this was on the She Leads Hour on Capital FM. I must give a shout out to Naomi. Oh my goodness. I cannot tell you how much pleasure it is to have a conversation with someone who has done the research. And it makes the conversation that much richer because now we're really getting into the meat of things. We're not starting from the basics, the foundation. You know what I mean? So big shout out to Naomi. I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. It's not just about the festival. In fact, the festival is a little bit of it, but it really just speaks to the heart of who we are as Africana women. So enjoy.
Now, this is the She Leads Hour, and it's basically a show where we shine a spotlight on female leaders. And we thought it would definitely be interesting to have a conversation about how Trulu has been leading in so many different aspects of her life, also creating safe spaces for other women to also be the best selves that they can be. Now, we're going to start you off like this. Sheryl Sandberg, the COO of Facebook, once said that leadership is about making others better as a result of your presence and making sure that the impact lasts in your absence. Now, a woman who has obviously mastered this style of leadership is Trulu Chansa. And she is an award-winning podcaster and producer, as well as who has an incredible talent for storytelling and an ability to create safe spaces for women to not only share their stories, but also to thrive through networking with one another. She's also a wellness entrepreneur who seeks out opportunities to promote good health practices. And she also helps women create their personal brands and hosts a popular podcast that is called Africana Women that doubles as a phenomenal female empowerment movement. She's no doubt a leader in many different fields. And today we have the privilege of speaking to her here on the She Leads Hour. So good afternoon again, Trulu. How are you doing today?
I'm great. I'm very good.
Okay. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this interview. And I guess we could basically start at the beginning. You seem to have like a deep-rooted love for storytelling. Is there any experience from your childhood that actually sparked this love for storytelling?
That's an interesting question. I went to a school which loved, you know, when you have school plays.
Mm-hmm.
So I think almost every year there was a big play, and then at the end of the year there was a Christmas play or something of the sort. And, you know, bringing it together was such a big excitement. You'd be like, first of all, you have to find out what story are we telling this year, right? And then now you're going, you're auditioning, you're like, oh my gosh, I really want to be this person or whatever position you want to get. And then, you know, the practices, they even called you from class. No, it's time for practice. My friends, I was like, yeah, no class. But I think that in itself really started the wheels turning around storytelling, right? And my mom was a teacher at the school that I went to. So that meant that I had access to the behind the scenes, right? Making the outfits, making the stage. We used to go and paint the stage, you know, all these different scenes and whatnot. So I think that is probably where it started.
Okay. So was this the UWC Atlanta College?
No, that one, I went to UWC for after high school.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's kind of like an A level. So they do the International Baccalaureate program.
Mm-hmm.
So I went after high school. I grew up in Indola, so I'm a Kofela girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Infanta School. from baby class all the way to grade 7. And then I went to Fatima Girls from 8 to 12. Then after that, I went to UWC.
Oh, okay. Okay. So the next question that I did want to ask you is, because you spent both your secondary school experience both in Zambia and abroad, how did this actually shape your ideals as a young girl?
Wow. So it's very interesting because, you know, I guess the first part of my secondary was in a very strict environment. You know, I went to an all-girls boarding school that's run by nuns. So, I mean, if anyone has had that experience, you know, you can't wear, like, dresses, you know, above your knees. You can't have, I don't know, permed hair. All of these, everything was just like, you can't. And, you know, the first week I got there, I'm like, what is this? Like, why are they just telling us you can't? What can we do? So, I did find it very restricting, very challenging, you know. But I think it also definitely brings out the independence, right?
Yeah.
Right away. So then when I went to study abroad, I went to the UK. I was in Wales for 2 years. And then you walk into the classroom and then the teacher is telling you, call me Mark. Yeah? Me. Go ahead, I'm down. And the first day, what? So, yeah, he's just like, wait a minute. This is a total culture shock, right? And totally comfortable with it. So then, okay, so you get past that, and then now we get into the content of the actual program. And the International Baccalaureate program is very, it's very analytical. And, you know, in we tend to memorize, you know?
Yeah.
But they're saying, okay, so you've read this. What is your opinion? What do you think? And then that's the first time I'm being told, well, I can actually have an opinion, and then no one is going to get upset, you know, because the way I grew up, it was, you know, children should be seen, not heard.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're telling me that, oh, we want to know what you're thinking. What is your opinion? Yeah. I was like, wow, okay, this is very different. So, yeah, I think definitely there's lots of pluses on both sides. And I thoroughly enjoyed, you know, the UWC experience in itself, because you have people coming from all over the world. You have, so, you know, you get to experience all these different cultures. You see how beautiful diversity is.
Mm.
And you begin to learn about even yourself. Because, you know, when you live here in Zambia, right, we tend to take things for granted. You'll be like, oh, okay, yeah. You kind of get it like, okay, yeah, I'm Zambian. But when you go to a place like that, or you go to a different country, not everybody's asking you, oh, you're from Zambia. Okay, tell me about it. And then you begin to realize, wait a minute, how much do I really know about this country? And how much do I really know about my identity as a Zambian?
Yeah.
You know? And you begin to examine that. And you go deeper. You start learning more about your own country because people are asking you all the time. So, yeah, I think it was a very, very beautiful transition from childhood to a young woman. Yeah.
Okay. Now, in addition to all of this, you went further to study international development and social change. How has this affected or influenced the way you approach your podcast?
Well, what I actually studied, my degree is architectural studies.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't use it right now, so everyone's like, why aren't you using it? But the school that I went to for university is a liberal arts college.
Mm-hmm.
In that, the way that is designed is that, yes, as much as you're going to declare, yes, I want to be a doctor, I want to be an accountant, so on and so forth, the other requirements are that you have to go and touch the other areas of studies, right? Because what tends to happen is maybe you know, your parents, they want you to be something. Oh, we want you to be this, we want you to be engineer. And then you go in thinking that, okay, I'm going to do this engineering thing, and you find you don't like it. But when you actually begin to explore, then you say, oh, wow, I'm actually someone who's from the arts. Or, you know, you try other things. So I got the opportunity to study, you know, so many different other subjects. Right? Not just, you know, I just go in and I'm just focusing on architecture. Mm-hmm. And I, for me, that made me, well, I guess it started from very young anyway. I've always been someone who loves to read. You know, when kids were running, you know, when the bell rings, kids were running to the playground, I was running to the library.
Interesting.
So I've always been a very curious person. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, being able and being given that permission to explore in other, you know, other areas was really nice for me. And how it's informed, you know, my storytelling and on the podcast, I'm just a very curious person, you know. So when somebody comes on the podcast, I have so many questions, and I'm genuinely just interested in learning more. It's not a space where I'm going to judge you for whatever it is or whatever decisions you have made, but I'm kind of curious as, okay, so you made that decision, but how did you get to that decision? Why did you choose that? You know, like getting to the root of the story. That's something that really helped me with, I guess, which was informed by my uni days.
Okay. So let's get to the root of Africana Women. So this was something that you founded in 2020. Could you just give us a little bit of some background as to how you landed on the name specifically?
Oh, the name. Well, I actually, how do they say it? I went and did YALI in Southern Africa, so in South Africa. I did the program there. And when the program was ending, I had become really good friends with a lady from Mozambique and a lady from Zimbabwe. And we kind of sat on our last day and said, hey, what can we do to take all this knowledge that we've learned and then share it with other people? And then that's when we decided to start a blog. So the blog became, when we're discussing later on, we thought, okay, we wanted to talk about African women. I'm from Zambia, there was a Mozambique lady, there's a lady from Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. We wanted to talk about millennials, you know, we wanted to be about the different ways that you can be a woman, right?
Yeah.
And what that looks like for us as modern women. So we said, okay, definitely there has to be woman in the name. And then, you know, a lot of things already have Africa and stuff like that. So we said, okay, let's jazz it up and say Africana. So that's when we came up with Africana Woman. However, I came to learn later that Africana in, I think, Spanish or Portuguese, one of those countries, Africana literally means African woman, right? Mm. So it's kind of like we're saying African woman.
Okay.
So yeah, but that's how we came up with the name.
Okay. And then what was the vision behind it? I mean, you've explained just a little bit, but I know that you have so many different programs that are working underneath the Africana Women name. But what was the initial vision that you had for all the women that you were going to network with under the blog or, you know, the podcast?
I'll have to give a bit of a backstory. So we started the blog, and then life happened. Life was lifing, people were moving different countries, people having babies, so on and so forth. So the blog died.
Okay? Mm.
It died a natural death. then in 2018, 2019, I had a mental health crisis. And through that, when I got to that rock bottom, I kind of figured that, you know what, I really need to get help, right?
Mm-hmm.
I did get help. I started a coaching program. I went for therapy. I started exercising, actually. And in the coaching program, I used to, you know, they would give us these prompts, like, okay, what's your opinion on this? What's your opinion on that? And I used to write these long pieces. So one of the ladies says to me, Chula, you know, you're a good writer. You should take this up. And then I remembered the blog, right? And I thought, okay, that'll be interesting. So I reached out to the ladies and I said, you know what, I want to continue writing. May I use the name? And because the skeleton was already there, the website, everything was already there.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, yeah, sure. They gave me their blessing. So in that moment, really, I was just using it as a sort of like a public diary.
Okay.
You know, I was just like, you know, I'm just going to write and, you know, I'll just write and have fun with this. So I just started writing. And I would write these pieces that are, you know, analytical about our culture and, you know, my personal experiences and things like that. And then there's one post where a friend of mine reached out to me and he said, you know what, I don't feel like you're giving people your 100%.
Mm.
And I don't think people are ready for that 100%. And he says, no, put it out there. Like, just go all full for it. And I said, oh, okay. So then I wrote a piece that's called Into Me See.
Mm-hmm.
And intimacy. It's a play on words of intimacy, so into me see. And I think that's when the actual, I guess, vision of what Africana woman could be and what it is right now really started. And going through that, the vision has been, you know, having a place where you can just be honest, have honest conversations, be authentically yourself and not have to pretend to be somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think that women, we tend to wear a lot of masks in different situations. We wear a mask at work, we wear a mask at home, we wear a mask with our relatives at church. But behind, we know that we really want to be something or somebody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're show what that really is. So I would say that if what it has developed into now kind of happened organically and it evolved naturally, again, that coaching program that I started, that I was taking at the time,
mm-hmm.
Said, oh, okay, you guys need to put yourself out there, do some, you know, social media live. Much like this, right? And I was like, I do it alone. No, I'm not doing that. So that's when I asked some friends, hey, can you join me on Instagram Live? They did. We had some amazing conversations. And then I thought about it and I said, you know, these conversations are going to die here on Instagram. What can I do to make sure more people hear what we were talking about?
Mm.
That's when I came up with the podcast. And then, because this is like 2020, mid-COVID, all of that. At the time, I had a wedding cake business, which, again, died a natural death. Because, you know, they said, no functions. And you've got a wedding cake business. What do you do with your life? Yeah. So, and I just thought, you know what, if I'm going through this, I'm sure there's other people that are also having challenges with just navigating this. So I just said, okay, I'm going to do this online thing. Do you guys want to, you know, who wants to come on board for this? And it was called Audit Your Business, actually. And people came and we had a fantastic time. And then that's where the community grew from. And then from there, the community has been saying, oh, we want a book club. You know, we've done retreats. we've done all sorts of things. So it just happened organically. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, it definitely does, because you touched on how the initial vision came into place and then also some of the different things that you've done since then, because that was where I was going next. So I know that you have like a book club, but before we get into speaking about all the different things that you have, what was the response like from different women? Because, I mean, sometimes we can be a little bit, apprehensive to be able to be vulnerable with other women. So what was the initial response that you had from other women when you were creating this safe space? And how also did you foster that safe space to ensure that women would feel comfortable with being vulnerable with one another on your platform?
That's a great question. So yes, definitely hesitation. There was rather, and I think even when people come in, they're kind of like, "Yeah, these guys are honest." But yeah, and then they just get used to it. So yeah, there's definitely, you know, a lot of reservations. So what I started a Facebook group. Right? And on that Facebook group, you know, we would have like master classes and things like that. But then what I noticed is my real heart is for community, right? And on the group, there wasn't much communication amongst each other, right? They would see me on a live, right? They would see whoever the teacher was or the mentor was. They would be commenting, but they wouldn't be talking to each other. You see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, no. I need to restructure this because this is not achieving our goal. It's not doing what we say we want to do. So that's when I closed the Facebook group and then I started WhatsApp group. So in the WhatsApp groups, there you can see, you know, who we are talking to. There you see, oh, you know, there's a lot more interaction that way, where it's personal. And it's not, oh, everybody's just talking to Chulu, you understand? I wanted it to, let's talk to each other, not everybody talks to Chulu. That's not what we're doing. So I just restructured it that way. And in your question about how, here's the thing. When I was having initial conversations with people, you know, they're like, a women's thing. You know, they were just thinking, it's going to be catty. People are going to be backbiting.
Mm-hmm.
They've had these different experiences in different other spaces where it hasn't worked out very well. So there's that reservation, right?
Yeah.
I just said, you know what, let's just try it. Let's just do this. Like, you know, you come if you want. Some people are silent for a bit. They're observing. They watch. And then eventually they'll be like, okay, I'm saying something for the first time. But what really, I believe, what really allows people to just be open and vulnerable is because I demonstrated it first.
Okay.
So as the leader, as the person who is convening this, I cannot say to people, tell me your deepest and darkest parts of your soul, you know, without actually bearing my own, you know. So that's what I did. When you read my blog pieces, they're humorous, yes, but they're also very deep. And then even in the spaces in the WhatsApp groups, I will always be very honest, very open. And that gives people it gives them permission to be like, oh, okay. If she can do it, like, she's gonna air her dirty whatever laundry or whatever. Okay, fine. Let me talk. Let me have a conversation, or let me say what I really want to say. Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into the different structures that you have within Africana Woman. You mentioned you have a book club, and then also you do some live recordings of the podcast as well. And then the podcast is also available for people to stream on Spotify as well. So let's talk about these different like sectors or departments underneath the major name Africana Woman.
Absolutely. So first of all, we start with our first love, which is the Africana Woman blog. So I think what has been such a proud moment for me is that the blog is no longer just written by Tulu, right? Now we have contributors from all over the world, different African women from the diaspora, from the continent, and they submit their stories, and the stories are so varied. It can be talking about health. It can be talking about looking after your aging parents, you know, all sorts of stories, really. Or there was one about just getting married, and it's very, very interesting. So, you know, if anybody wants to submit and be a contributor to the blog, you're more than welcome. So the blog comes out on Tuesdays. You can just go to our website, africanawoman.com, if you want to see the ones that have been in the past. So that's the blog. Then we have the podcast, as you mentioned. Again, with the podcast, it has blossomed. So it's no longer just one podcast. We started off with our anchor show, which is Africana Woman, right? Where we invite women to come and tell us their stories. They tell us in their own voices, in their own words, and they'll tell us the highs, they'll tell us the lows, and what lessons they've learned. So that's our anchor show, which is the award-winning show. We've won AVVA Best Society and Culture Podcast twice in a row, so 2023-2022. I'm very proud about that. And now we've expanded. We're now a network. So we've got four podcasts running under Africana Woman Network, right? So one is called Educated Africana. In the name, we talk about education on the continent, African continent. The other is called LEMBA, the African Authors Space. So we invite female African authors to come and tell us the story behind their books. How did they come up with you know, stories? What was the, you know, what was the inspiration, and so on and so forth? It's actually very interesting. You should definitely listen to that. And then we've got No Break, which is quick tips on personal branding.
Okay.
So those are the four podcasts that we have. Then we've got the book club. when the community was like, oh, we want a book club, I was thinking, gosh, because I had stopped reading. I mentioned before I love reading. Mm-hmm. But I had stopped reading for a while. But I thought, you know what, okay, fine, let me do this thing. But it has been such a beautiful door or window, I don't know which one to use, but it's opened up the types of conversations that we have. In the book club, we read one book a month. The book club gets to vote. So first of all, they'll nominate the books, and then we vote, and then whatever the winner is, that's the book we're reading. And then at the end of the month, we do a book review. We've been doing this since, I think, 2021-ish.
Okay.
Yeah, the end of 2021. And what I've noticed more and more is we're reading a lot of different African authors, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you did literature or, you know, history and stuff like that, I think you would know that in schools, they didn't really encourage us to read our own stories. But it's so beautiful to see yourself in the characters that are represented. And the book reviews, I always say this, even if you haven't read the book, come for the book review, you will get so much. Because, you know, people will talk about their own experiences, and then it will just be so enriching. And one thing about the community is that it's not a specific age. So it's not like just 30. We've got people who are from 19 years old to 70 years old. So imagine having those types of conversations where someone who is like 70, 50 is telling you, oh, when I was younger, we, you know, this is how we dealt with mental health, da, da, da. And then this, it's like we're bridging the gap of generational divide, you know, and sharing wisdom amongst us. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. So that's the book club. Again, if you want to join the book club, more than welcome. Just go to the website, AfrikanerWoman.com. You'll find the link there. And then we have an accountability group that is called the Afrikaner Women Visionaries. So we are all about promoting healthy lifestyles from a holistic point of view. We're about talking about money, so building generational wealth. Mm-hmm. And we know that this stems from self-love. Because when you are rooted and grounded in your self-love, there's no limit to what you can do.
Okay.
So in the accountability group, we're really saying that, okay, how can we help you to to have a healthy lifestyle? Let's start incorporating things slowly. Because as women, guys, especially modern women, we are doing so much. We're looking after the kids, school runs, work, and it gets overwhelming and you're thinking, okay, you're telling me go to the gym, you're telling me be healthy or eat healthy. How am I supposed to do all of this? But we help each other. There's also peer-to-peer mentoring. We have a master class every month on a specific theme. We have journal prompts. There's all these different tools that you can use to actually just feel some sort of sanity and just get a hold on your health as a whole, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the primary. And then we also do a retreat once a year, a wellness retreat. So we'll go out into some beautiful place where there's no cell signal. We want you to disconnect. And then we are saying that, okay, we're going to pamper you. You're not here to be looking after your bae, after your kids. We are going to look after you, but you need to go internally and then start doing some self-care. So wellness retreats. And then finally, as you mentioned, last year we launched doing live podcast recordings, right?
Yeah.
So we did a podcast tour last year, meaning the same way you do, like the same way you see artists doing concerts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all the towns, the Beyonce is, oh, she was in France, she was in China, she was in this place, So that's what we did. We took the podcast on tour. We went to Lusaka. We were in Lusaka, Kabwe, and Kitwe, and it was such a brilliant experience to just have the conversations. Because if you know podcasting, and even the way you do your radio show, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of lonely, you're just with the guest or you're by yourself. But now you can be in a room with so many people. The audience can ask the guests their questions directly, and there's just a certain energy about being in a room together and having meaningful conversations, right? So that's what we did last year. We did a podcast tour. This year, we're not doing a tour. Instead, we're doing a festival.
Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah. No, I can hear you. Sorry, the sound dropped. So I was panicking just a little bit. Before we get into speaking about the Afrikaner Festival, because that's definitely something that we need to cover, let's talk about, obviously you aren't doing all of these different facets of the Afrikaner woman alone. So how are you managing the team? What's your unique leadership style? And how do you all come together to be able to fulfill the vision of Afrikaner woman?
Girl, there is no way I can do this by myself, that's for sure. I think every time something new comes on board, I'm always saying, okay, who is going to help me with this? Like, I never go in saying, like, add things, and I'm thinking I'm going to do it by myself. So the team has been built gradually over time. They are phenomenal. But what surprises most people is that the team is remote. So, for example, my personal assistant, she's in South Africa. Our community manager is in Mansa.
Wow.
we've got, I think, three people in Lusaka. I live in Kabwe myself. So it's a remote team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, really, having gone through COVID, guys, we should know by now that things can be achieved as long as you're very clear about what are the objectives. You're clear about checking in on each other. The communication is very consistent, and even just the processes of how things are done have to be outlined. You know, you have to keep revisiting them. Okay, have you managed to do this? And we keep monitoring together all the different facets. Oh, and there's somebody else in Livingston in the team, sorry. yeah, so I guess my leadership style is, you know, I'm not someone who's like a helicopter. Like, I don't need to see you. I don't need to see that, oh, you checked in on the computer at 8 o'clock and then you checked out at 5 p.m. I want to see results.
Mm.
How you get that done is on you, right? And I think, and to be honest, people have tried. We've had people that have joined the team, and that is, they have not flourished in that type of environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're kind of wired and used to working in a certain way, especially as I think as Zambians, we like the brick and mortar type of business, right? So, you know, you'll find that someone is just not flourishing. They're not hitting their targets. They're not getting things done. And unfortunately, you know, you have a conversation with somebody and you say, okay, what's going on? How can I help you to achieve what you need to do? And if those things are still not working, then we have to part ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the end of the day, in terms of, I guess, my leadership style is results, guys. I just want to see the results. I will support you as much as you need. I'm very flexible. And yeah, I think that's what I can say about the team.
Okay. So let's talk about some of the challenges that you faced. I mean, you've spoken about all the great aspects of Africana Women. What are some of the difficult things that Africana Women has brought into your space?
Yeah. So, again, I'll talk about, so Africana Women is primarily 80% of our programs are online, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you find that we're interacting a lot on our phones, on the computer, Zoom. We started in COVID times, the COVID baby. And now we're expanding more into in-person events. But as an online business and one that is based in Zambia, Africa, my goodness, the challenges are so many. I'm like, where to start? First of all, receiving payments. Okay. So, you know, we have clients from all over the world, but how do you receive your payment from the US, from Senegal or wherever, without these exorbitant charges? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So trying to navigate that has been very, very interesting and challenging. You know, you have platforms like PayPal that do not cater to Zambia. So now you're like, okay, how do we get creative with that? You guys, like, yo, guys, please, let me not get too deep into that one. And then I've had, like I said, I have people on the team who are in different countries. So now, how do you pay them their salaries? And you will not believe how difficult it is to transact across African nations. Like, it should not be this difficult, guys. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm going to say. But, you know, you have those sorts of challenges. And then let's talk about currently what we're experiencing with the load shedding. I mean, I think they're not even calling it load shedding anymore. It's rationing in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as an online business, I do online courses. I didn't even talk about that. My goodness. So we run online courses, you know, and you're expecting people to, well, first of all, if you've got, I've got clients that, you know, people who, students that will come from, let's say, from the US, Europe, or wherever, for them it's fine. Their power is fine. But then for me here, who's supposed to show up and teach a class, you know, and then I find, okay, the power is coming back at 23 hours, and it went at 5 a.m., the computer is dead now, I am not able to show up and deliver.
Yeah, girl, yeah.
You know? So now we're thinking, okay, how do we restructure the way we deliver our courses?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so many things. What other challenges have we experienced? those would be the main ones for the time being.
Okay. So before we run out of too much of time, let's get into talking about some of the short courses that you have. So you have the Good Morning Beautiful, you have the Emotional Mindfulness, and then you also have like a personal branding course that you do offer. All of these are online?
Yes. So Good Morning Beautiful is actually, it's like a spiritual detox that we do in December. We do a call out and then say to people, you know, if you want to join, we're going to add you to a WhatsApp group. And then we do this challenge for 7 days and we're reflecting on the year. So that one is on WhatsApp. And then this year we started a course, which is for January, and it's called Success Tribe, and it's setting you up to have a successful year. Again, that one is online, so it's delivered. It was delivered anyway through Zoom classes. And then we've got the personal brand course, as you mentioned, which again we were doing through, like, we would bring in a cohort and then we do these on online classes via Zoom. But now we've decided that we're going to do pre-recordings so as people can watch it in their own time. So play on demand, basically, right?
Okay.
So you go, you find it, and then you can watch it. You do the work that's required. And then, if you need to come back and ask questions of me as the trainer and so on and so forth, you have that access as well. So, yeah, but basically they're online, yes.
Okay. So let's talk about the Africana Festival. This is something that's going to be taking place from the 2nd to the 3rd of August. And you mentioned that you had a live recording last year, and then this year you decided to go with the festival. So what's going to be happening at this festival? Who are some of the coaches, the mentors that will be speaking at this festival, and how much is it all going to cost for someone who is interested in going to be a part of this?
Okay, great. So I'll just talk about, first of all, one of the main incentives of bringing this festival together is that, like I mentioned, when we started as Africana Women, it was very much an online thing. And can you believe there's still some people that I have not met in person, but they feel like they are my best friends. I've never met Chulo before. And I'm like, Matalo, how? Like, we talk all the time. And if we really have never met, right? And even as you've heard, all these different programs, we've got the courses, we've got the book club, we've got the visionaries, and we want to bring everybody together to actually, you know, mix everybody together and see what type of magic that can happen. But of course, if you're not part of the Africana Women community, you're more than welcome to attend. So, yes, the festival is 2 days. It is that long weekend. You know, we have the long weekend in August. And it will be at Chena Art House in Nkwashi, the park there. Beautiful setting. There's a little lake there. There's the gallery and the park. Absolutely stunning. And we start our first day on Friday. So Friday, it's more like a conferencey vibe. But then if you come to an Africana Women's event, you know we're not very conferencey and not very formal. But it's more of a conferencey vibe. The theme of the festival is secure your future, right? Mm. So we're going to have four workshops. The first one is first of getting clarity around what is this future that you actually want, right? What is the vision for where you're going? And that's going to be led by Lisa Sekaja, who is a human rights lawyer. She is based in Geneva, and she is coming all the way from Geneva through Uganda to come and run this workshop. Very excited. Then we're going to talk about securing your future financially. Okay. And I think, you know, personally as a business owner and, you know, as entrepreneurs, I think sometimes we tend to forget ourselves and we focus so much on the business. We pour so much money into it. We forget to start thinking about retirement and, you know, those types of conversations. But how do you actually secure your future financially?
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be led by Priscilla Mpondu, who is the managing director of B Compliance Solutions. She's based in Lusaka. She works with different female SMEs and helps them with their compliance. She helps them with just really figuring out how do you move from an SME to a really well-functioning business. So she's very, very knowledgeable in this area. Then we're talking about securing your future legally. Now, you know, I think a lot of times we get shy about asking questions like prenups, like writing a will, like getting a divorce. How do you make sure you protect your assets? But even when you leave, you know, you've been working so hard. You've created this business. You've set aside money for your children. How do you ensure that they are going to be the beneficiaries for all your hard work, right? Mm-hmm. So we have Mandy Banda, who is the director of the Women's Legal Aid Clinic, Zambia. So you know she knows what she's talking about. So she's going to be leading that session. And our final conversation for the first day is really about our own self-saboteurs. You know, there's a difference between saying you want to do something and actually getting it done, mm-hmm. right? But a lot of times you ask, and this is also one of the reasons why I started Africana Woman, because people will tell me, oh, I've got this business, or I've got this idea, I've got this project, I'm so excited, they explain it in my head, I've seen it, and then you come and meet them 1 year later, 3 years, or, you know, however many months, and like, oh, how is the project? I haven't started, but why? And most of the times it's because of our inner self-critic, right? We talk ourselves out of getting things done. We have imposter syndrome. We have all sorts of things that come up. So we're going to have a conversation around what do you do to get from stuck to success. And this is going to be led by Danielle Dalcotivo, who's an executive coach. She is coming all the way from Australia, guys. So when I tell you the lineup of speakers and coaches are amazing and it's so worth your time, trust me. I hope you believe me. So she's coming all the way from Australia and she is going to be leading that session. So that's day one, okay?
This is just day one.
That's just day one. It's going to be powerful.
Okay.
Then day two, we're going to be doing the live podcast recording.
Mm.
So that's where, you know, we're going to have conversations around health. We're going to have conversations around wealth. And we're going to have conversations around self-love. There's going to be a picnic because of the setting, you know what I mean? So we're going to have a picnic. Bring your beautiful hat, your sunglasses, come and spread a picnic. You can bring your own food or you can buy the food that will be available there. We're going to have health and wellness vendors as well. So, and, you know, I think a lot of times we kind of get afraid to try and go into certain spaces, right? You'll be like, oh, I heard there's like a sound bath over there. It sounds interesting, but I don't know. Or, you know, I heard about this other practice or whatever. But we're going to have all of those types of people and that are in the health and wellness space, even therapists, you know. So if you're kind of, you know, you're struggling with, oh, how do I even find a therapist? Come and talk to them. Find out more about how you can actually, you know, incorporate this health and wellness into your life. We're going to have live performers, DJ. Yeah, it's just going to be a vibe. So that's the, you know, you said the amount. So that's day two. Both days starting at 8 a.m. and then we're finishing at around 16, 17 hours. Guys, if you guys know me, we start on time. So go early for your makeup appointments. I don't know if it will be 6 a.m. I don't know. Just make a plan. But we start on time. You will find us if you, we've already started. And then how much is it? So the first day, which we're calling the Legacy Indaba, is 1,500. The second day, which is the live podcast recording, that's 500 kwacha. So you can choose, maybe you're going to say, I only want to attend one day, or you can attend both days. So if you decide to attend both days, then you are, then that is 2,000 kwacha. So I also forgot to mention, on day one, as much as we're doing the workshops, you're going to get a workbook, and it's also, lunch is also inclusive.
Okay, so it sounds like it's going to be an amazing, amazing event. And obviously, women are going to network with one another. They're going to let down their guards and interact with one another. It's something that is going to be interesting to see happening. So as we come towards the end of our interview, I have two final questions for you. The first one is, what do you want to be remembered as? What do you want your legacy to be when you're no longer here? And then also, what is one thing about yourself that you can say that you love and you have grown to love throughout the years?
Oh, this is such a juicy question. I think my legacy is... Wow. I think when people remember me, I want them to remember my joy, that I was a joyful person. I have been through, I mean, you know, I feel like I've lived lots of lives. Maybe nine, who knows? But, you know, I've lived so many lives, and some of them have not been pleasant. But what I always seek is peace, love, and joy. So I think hopefully my legacy is for someone to say, wow, she was a joyful person despite everything and anything that happened to her. And then just repeat the second question so I get it right.
The second question is, what's one thing about yourself that you have grown to love throughout the years?
Oh, girl, my body. I love my body. First of all, you know, when I'm in this world just tries to make, not even tries, like, it makes women hate their bodies, like, so much, you know? It's so many, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, too this, I'm too short, tall, blah, 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 you know, it goes on and on. There's never a happy place, so when, yeah, me, I'm happy. And over the years, you know, so many things have happened, in, you know, like I had a child, so that cute, tiny waist, which was, you know, flat, and it was smooth, now it's got stretch marks, and I was like, Lord, how heavy is that to me? you know, I've been on the experience, I've lost lots of weight, and then I've also gained, and you know, the hips are not lying, thunder thighs, all of that kind of stuff. But it's telling, and you know, the world is telling you, no, you shouldn't love your body. But my goodness, it has been such a beautiful journey in learning to love my body, flaws and all, right? I have gray hair. If you meet me, I've got like, if you watched The Little Mermaid, you know Ursula?
Yeah.
That line, that white line we have.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was young, I used to say, I wish I was like Ishta, and I think God was listening. So I've got this white line of hair across my head, and you know, people are panicking. Oh, why don't you dye your hair? I'm like, girl, I look like Ishta. I look cool, you know. I have natural hair. That's another journey that I've been through. And, another one. You know, my skin, when puberty happened, all of my cousins and sisters, they've had the most beautiful, gorgeous skin. But I wasn't fortunate with that. So I had acne problems starting from puberty and whatnot. And I remember one time seeing a woman on TV, and she had acne because I just thought I wasn't beautiful enough to go out in public.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I saw her on TV and I thought, oh my God, if she can go out, you know, if she can be on national TV with acne, then what's really stopping me, you know? So there's just so many things on my body that I thought were wrong, but have really been... They're what makes me me. They're what makes me unique. And I love every curve. I love everything that is just about my body. I love it.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. We could talk for hours, clearly. But sadly, we have come to the end of the interview. Thank you so much for coming through and for sharing with us what your unique leadership journey has been like in the podcasting sphere. And I definitely do hope that all of the endeavors that you're going to be doing towards the end of this year, I mean, we're in the second half of the year. So everything that you're going to be doing, I hope that it goes well as planned. And also, best wishes for the Africana Women Festival that's going to be taking place soon as well.
Thank you so much. Well, first of all, thank you for the invitation. And this is such a beautiful space where we can talk about, you know, and like you said, our leadership journeys, and see how it's okay to do it different, right? Just because we read about it in a certain book, it says, no, you should be like this. Or we see a lot of leaders being men and we think, oh, you know, I have to act in a certain way. But you can do it your unique way. And I think this space that you have created here is really something that will help people highlight and just open their eyes. So thank you. Thank you for the work that you are doing. It's so beautiful.
All right.
Thank you so much, Capital FM, for the invitation to speak on the She Leads Hour. And I will continue to sing your praises. Naomi, you are such a phenomenal interviewer. I absolutely enjoyed just sitting down and having this conversation with you. Yes, we can talk for hours. So, guys, there are just a few more days to the Africana Women Festival. Have you got your tickets yet? You can go to the website. That's the only place the tickets are available. So go to africanawoman.com/festival and get your tickets today. You can use mobile money. You can use a card. There are different options for you to make your payment. Now, the first day, the Legacy Indaba is 1,500. The second day is the live podcast recording, and that is 500 kwacha. Then if you're coming for both days, it's 2,000 kwacha. We also have a special rate, a group rate. So if you want to buy tickets for your staff members and you want to buy in bulk, please reach out to us at africanawoman@gmail.com and we'll be able to get you those special rates. Get your tickets today. This is such an exciting program. I am so thrilled that we can bring such an impactful conversation to you and networking and all of the wonderful things that we do as Africana Women. So this is the journey to the Africana Women Festival. My name is Chulu, your host. Until next time.